Chapter 8. The Ruins of Arboria. Lord Celestant Gardas pushed through the Vale of Vines and gazed at the faded glory of the fallen city of Arboria. The treetop city was a thing of flowing curves and soft angles, of great stones held aloft by the thick branches and boles of an immense elder tree, perhaps grown from a seed of the oak of ages past itself. The latter was visible in the distance, its broken shape jutting across the pale green sky. He could just make out the pale swathe of foulness that was their destination on the horizon. He repressed a shudder as he stared at that foulness.
"Help us, Caradan! Help us!"
the ghosts murmured in the back of his head. They had been whispering to him since he had reeled out of that mad garden and back into the mortal realms, aflame with white fire. They had clung to him like the tatters of his war cloak, as he had waded into the fray between the Sylvaneth and the Skaven in the glade of horned growths. He had instinctively sought out his foes, and ruined any who sought to bar his path, seeking not Ratkin, but the barbarians who had murdered the man he had been, in another time. Another place.
"Help us, Caradan. Help us."
"Quiet."
He squeezed his eyes shut, forcing the voices back into the cage of his memories. When they had at last fallen silent, he strode forward, following the scampering forms of the forest spites the Stormcasts had rescued from Nurgle's followers a few days before. The colourful spirits swirled about him for a moment, clicking and murmuring in their strange tongue, before they faded like reflections on water. Where they went, he could not say, and did not like to guess.
"Thank you,"
he called out. The Spites had led their Stormcast allies to Arboria by secret paths only they knew, and Gardas was grateful to them. It had been the first time in many days that the Stormcasts had been able to travel without fear of attack or ambush, and such a respite had been much needed, though it would be brief. Even Sigmar's chosen warriors required rest, and Rotwater Blight had more dangers than just those that came armed with swords and axes. The servants of the ruinous powers were many and varied, and the Hallowed Knights and their allies had fought for every patch of ground between profane Tor and here. He looked about in wonder. What stories were in these stones, he wondered, tracing the faded features of a vine-shrouded statue as he looked around the vast plaza he had wandered into. What folk had built this city? What had happened to them? Where were they now? He closed his eyes, suddenly recalling the guttural laughter of the demon Bolothrax and the nightmare pursuit through the Garden of Nurgle. He knew what happened to the people of Arboria, as surely as he knew what had happened to his own folk before Sigmar had claimed him.
"Caradan, help us."
Weathered stone and withered vine crumbled beneath his fingers. Gardas opened his eyes and took his hand away from the statue.
"No more,"
he said hoarsely.
"Never again."
"Gardas,"
a harsh voice said from behind him. He turned and saw Lord Castellant Grimm stalking towards him, his griffhound padding at his side, his lantern glowing with a soft, warming light.
"Are you ill?"
Gardas smiled thinly. "You sound almost concerned."
"I would not have asked if I wasn't," Grimm said. "You have been through much."
Gardas said nothing for a moment as he marshalled his thoughts. He wanted to tell Grimm what he had seen in Nurgle's grim garden. Even now, safely returned to the mortal realms, he could not cleanse himself of the stink of that place. It ate away at him, mind, body, and soul. His armor was clean, but sometimes he could not help but see filth, a slow, creeping mold, insidious and inexorable. Idly, he scraped at his chest.
"I am fine, Loras."
As they had traversed Rotwater Blight, Gardas had sent his prosecutors winging ahead to scout out the lay of the land. They had brought back word of the great hollow trunk of the Oak of Ages Past, rising up from the horizon, and Arboria smouldering in its shadow. Two, Tegras had spied a number of strange floating islands, their snow-capped peaks crowned by ugly green clouds. Gardas shook his head. Tegras! He called out to one of the winged shapes flying through the upper reaches of the city above. Is this the place?
This is the city I saw, my lord, Tegras said, as he dropped to the ground.
His wings blazed once, stirring dust and pollen, and then folded behind his back. We sit in the very shadow of the Oak of Ages Past. He extended his hammer to the northeast. And there, the river's source. We're close, Gardas. Lord Castellant Grimm grunted.
It seems those forest spites did not play us false.
Why would they? Gardas asked. It's in their best interest to aid us. He looked at Grimm. Or do you still not trust them, Loras?
I trust nothing in this realm, Grimm said, one eyebrow raised.
Nor should you, Gardas. We are strangers here, however much blood we've shed. The Sylvaneth are allies of moment, nothing more. Who knows what goes through the heads of creatures like that?
I know, Gardas said softly. They could have killed me, Loras. Instead, they brought me back. They told me of this city and the islands in the sky. We are their best hope of awakening Alariel to the danger she is in. The talons of the plague gods seek her heart, and they close about her even now. We must get to her first, to put ourselves between her and her enemies. That is why we are here, my friend.
Yes, to take control of the realm gates in Sigmar's name, Grimm said. Why must we...
He fell silent and turned away. Gardas called after him, but the Lord Castellant walked away, bellowing orders to a phalanx of nearby liberators.
As pleasant as ever, Tegras murmured.
He's worried.
We are all worried. It has been a hard path to walk, and we have shed much blood in the name of something I saw in a mad realm, Gardas said. They had done much good along the way, or so he hoped. They had torn down the vile redoubts of Nurgle's champions, and slain many a corrupted warrior on their trek across the Blight. But they had not been able to continue to follow the river. To tarry too long in the vicinity of such a corrupted body of water was dangerous, even to Stormcast Eternals. They'd had to find a safer way to the river's source, and a quicker one. When the forest spites had offered to lead them by hidden paths to Arborea, Gardas had quickly accepted, despite Grimm's misgivings. He looked up at the trunk of the immense elder tree which stretched far above the city, piercing the very clouds themselves.
Are they up there, then? He asked Tegras. The floating islands you saw.
Aye, far above, Tegras said. It'll be quite the climb for those of you without wings.
Gardas laughed.
We've climbed worse. Remember the star heights of Azir? At least this time we won't have enemies hurling fire and spears down on us as we climb.
As far as we know, Tegras said.
He looked up.
I will take my prosecutors and make sure your route is a safe one. Do not doubt yourself, Steel Soul. We believe in you. All of us.
Then, without waiting for a reply, he leapt into the air and was gone, speeding towards the dark clouds above. Gardas watched Tegras go until he lost sight of him. He turned as someone placed a hand on his shoulder.
Morbus, he said, recognizing the chill of the other Stormcast's presence.
Grimm is worried, the Lord Relictor intoned.
As are you, I expect, Gardas said.
No,
Morbus said.
I do not worry, Gardas. I merely observe.
Maybe he's right to be worried, Gardas said, looking up at the tree. Morbus laughed softly.
Grimm is stone. He is Sigmarite, hard and unyielding. He will break before he bends, and calls it strength. But you?
Bend? Gardas supplied. Morbus nodded.
Yes, you bend. You adapt. You persevere. That is why Sigmar chose you as his sword, Gardas. You do what must be done, rather than what you have been ordered to do.
So would Grimm, if he had seen...
Gardas began. Morbus cut him off with a sharp gesture. Grim would never have come out of Nurgle's garden alive. He would have fought and died. The Lord Relictor hesitated. Nonetheless, sometimes he is right. I have seen things, Gardas. I have seen death and damnation, and I would not see it come to pass.
Whose death?
Gardas asked, mouth suddenly dry. Whose damnation? Morbus was silent. Gardas looked away. He shook himself.
Only the faithful, he thought.
We must climb, Morbus, he said. We have a way to go, and little time.
He looked at the Lord Relictor.
Gather the others, my fellow Lord Celestants included. We must reach the Sky Islands floating above.
And then what? Morbus said. Gardas hesitated.
I will know when I get up there.
He clenched his fists. He could sense Morbus's concern.
Before the other Stormcast could speak, he continued on, his words coming in a rush. I am being driven by something I cannot define, Morbus. A vague certainty compels me. Fragments of knowledge, stolen as I fled through ruined worlds, snatches of things seen at a remove of centuries. The whispers of the Sylvaneth as they bore me to safety.
He shook his head.
They, and perhaps even Gairon itself, want Alariel found, Lord Relictor. They want her to know, to see what has become of the world she has shrunk from. Once she sees, she will fight. Gairon will fight. The Jade Kingdoms will rise, and all of this will not have been for nothing.
He looked at Morbus. But we must find her first.
Morbus was silent for a moment. Then he nodded.
We must climb, he said.